Okay, don't open your Bible, but read John, but say John 3:16 with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay. I just want you to do 16 and 17 because I want you to see he did not send his Son into the world for any purpose other than to save man, not to condemn us and not to lose us. How many of you have a GPS in your car? Okay. What is the purpose of a GPS? Directions. Direction that it decides it wants to go. You program it to where you want it to go. But I have news for you. There are times when it does decide to go on its own. Oh, yes, it does. Ask me. I found myself in LaGrange, Kentucky, last year. I was on my way back from Branson. And I suddenly realized that I wasn't on the roads that I had traveled going to Branson or going to Oklahoma. And I thought, what in the world is the navigational system doing? But I'm smart enough to know that it knows some things. This one that I have, the original one I got about 15 years ago, just took me where I said take me. But this one, thank God, it knows the traffic ahead of me. It knows the weather in front of me. And when I got in the car that morning, even though I said home, it decided to take me a totally different direction than I had been before. And when I turned on the radio a little bit later and I realized that it was snowing in Illinois, it was snowing in places that I would have been traveling. But this navigational system was so smart that it looked ahead and said, this kid doesn't want to go through all of that. So I'm going to take, I went to sleep that night. When I got to the hotel, I said to her, ma'am, would you mind telling me what city I'm in? Because I don't make reservations when I'm on the road. I just kind of stop in hotels as I get to them. And she said, LaGrange, Kentucky. I had never even heard of Deacon Tony heard of LaGrange, but LaGrange, Kentucky. And I thought, well, God, I thank you that you thought enough of me to get me home by another route, a route that I was not going to get snowed in, snowed under, and I wasn't going to have to deal with in a way that I didn't want to have to deal with it. And so I'm here today to tell you, and Denise really blessed me this morning. Really blessed my heart, not because of what she had to go through, but because she stayed faithful to God and she got the victory of it. Some Christians are not experiencing all of Calvary's benefits. And if you are not experiencing them, and I mean all of them, if you are not experiencing them, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions and then you need to examine whether or not God is in this new experience that you're going through, or you have left some doors open that you should have closed. Because you need to ask yourself, why am I not experiencing all of what Calvary has provided for me? Why am I not experiencing it? The price has been already paid. The deed has already been done. And death couldn't keep him in the grave. And I wrote a little page here, a little note. It says, because the debt was paid, death could not keep him in the grave. And because he included us in that debt cancellation, because he included us in that debt cancellation, death cannot keep us in bondage to anything either. Death can't. Debt can't. We have to stop where we are at some point and realize that this was covered for me at Calvary. Why am I not experiencing it? Why am I not enjoying it? Okay. When they first came out, the GPS systems, like I said, Pastor Ed put one in the van 15 years ago. They used to just tell us where we wanted to go. In other words, taking you to your destination. They gave no information about the journey along the way. But thank God, things have increased. Knowledge has increased. But now, they tell you about the traffic. They tell you about the weather condition. Okay. By the way, folks, that's PJ Joe. That's Percy Joe Jr. going up the aisle to check on Amaris. She's her first time here. He's been here since he's 4 years old. In fact, he was the first child that I led to the Lord 30 years ago. My God. Anyway, he's here with his family this morning. They tell you everything about traffic. They tell you about the weather. They reroute you without even conferring with you now sometimes. But I can tell you, when you pass a point that you have programmed it to go, it will tell you one of two things. Either recalculate, I'm recalculating. Then ask you if you want to recalculate. It will automatically recalculate for you. Well, that's not what life does for you. Life doesn't automatically recalculate. We have to look at where we are and what we're involved in and what we're doing, and we have to make the recalculation. And often it will say, when you've passed a point, make a legal U-turn. Why? Because if you make an illegal one, you could get a ticket. You could cause an accident. One of our very dear friends is just recovering, 4 months recovering from an accident because a tow truck made an illegal U-turn in the middle of the highway. And she was in the hospital over 3 months as a result of it. So make sure the U-turns that you are making are legal ones. And the legal ones are ones that God has authorized. But Jesus never changes. He says what he means, and he means what he says. You'll reach your determined destination in a very timely manner without incident, accident, or negative occurrence of any time, as long as you stay tuned into him. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice, and another, they will not follow. Okay? There are two major things. Jesus said a lot of things, but there are two major things that he has said to help keep me on course. I want you to go with me, please, to John, the 14th chapter. One of them is found in John, and one of them is found in Matthew. A lot of them actually are found in John and Matthew. But this is one of my favorites. John, the 14th chapter, we're going to read the first 6 verses, but I want you to pay a special attention to the first verse of John 14. It says, let not your heart be troubled. So that means that we are working together with the Lord, because otherwise we're talking about fears and we're talking about other things earlier this morning. You can let your heart be troubled, but you can also prevent it from being troubled, depending on whether or not you're cooperating with what God's plan is or whether or not you're cooperating with what the devil has said. And these first 6 verses here, really, Jesus is comforting his disciples, because if you go back to the 13th chapter, he was really answering Peter's verse individually, individually. He was talking to Peter. Let's go back to verse 36 of the 13th chapter. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. We couldn't go with Jesus until he ascended to the Father and deposited his blood. But now anywhere he can go, or he will go, we should be going. That's what he was doing where Peter was concerned. Jesus answered him, in verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for my sake. And Jesus answered him, said, boy, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. So Jesus was just telling Peter what he could not do and why he couldn't do it. Because even though the words came out of his mouth about his commitment to Jesus, Jesus already knew that there were some things. Jesus already knew when we're going to deny him. Remember, we go back to Titus. We profess with our mouths, but our actions deny him. Jesus already knew that Peter was professing something with his mouth, but he already knew that his actions would deny him. But then let's go back to 14th chapter. So now he's comforting the rest of the disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house or rooms are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen, in other words, I'm only going to tell you the truth. So if I tell you something is available to you, then take my word for it, because it's available to you. He says, because if it were not so, I would have told you. Anything that's not truth or accurate or beneficial to us, Jesus has obligated himself to share that with us. Okay? Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what's going to happen? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Today, if I say I am, are we in the past, present, or future? Okay. If I said it yesterday, if I say it tomorrow, it's still present. So I am is always present. I am is always present. And when I am is present, then I will is just as present. Lord have mercy. Help them to see this, Lord. Jesus was really trying to get them to understand. He says, verse 4, and whither I go, ye know. He says, you know it. And the way you know. What is he saying there? Hey, you have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God if you belong to me. So you will know where I'm going, and you know what I'm going to do when I get there. You know the way. But of course, there's always a doubting Thomas who will say, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He's just saying, Jesus, you just lied. I do not know where you're going. Then if you don't know what Jesus has just proclaimed, then you are the one in error, not him. Because if he says, you know, guess what? You know, and it's going to be accounted to you for knowing. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What is he really saying to Thomas there? He says, Thomas, I am the access to the Father. I'm the revelation of who the Father is. You're not going to get a revelation about who he is without coming through me. You can read all the books you want, listen to all the teaching tapes you want, but unless somebody is preaching what thus saith the Lord about his Father, you're not going to get it. He says, and I am the life and love of God. That's something that we need to pay attention to. Jesus made a powerful statement there. He's concerned. He said concerning our responsibility to, first of all, manage our hearts, because he said, let not. And then he said, believe. So if you don't let your heart get trouble and you believe, you will begin to confess then what is in your heart. And we're going to see that in a little bit in Matthew. He then described what was available to us when he said, let not and believe. If it were not true, Jesus himself said, hey, I have to keep you currently informed of everything. Then he should share his responsibility to us. Verse 4, you know where I am and you also know the way. In other words, all doubt must be erased. Thomas disputed him, but Jesus says, I am the access, I am the revelation, and I am the reward. There's something I wrote down a little bit further. I'm going to get to it in a moment. But Jesus is saying, hey, I am the Zoe. I am the spark. I am the match that lights your fire, and I'm the oxygen that keeps it burning. Have you ever put out a candle? Why does a candle go out? Because you smother it by putting something over it, or you squeeze it. You cut off the oxygen. Jesus is saying, I am the life. I am the truth. I'm the way, and nothing can cut me off. I am the spark that lights your fire. I'm the match that lights your fire, but I'm the oxygen that keeps the fire burning in you. And so don't cut off the suki. Don't cut off my breath. Because when you start trying to breathe on your own, you're going to find you'll suffocate in a very short period of time. So go with me now, please, if you would, to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And all of you know that Matthew, the 6th chapter, has to be one of my favorites in life, because that's the chapter that I got saved on. I've got saved on a particular verse. But Matthew, the 6th chapter, I want you to go a little bit further than the minister did. He went only as far as verse 11 that day. I only heard up to verse 11, because after he said, give us this day our daily bread, I didn't hear anything else that he said that day, because I was having my private conversation with the Lord about why I had to get only a daily supply when I wanted a week, a month, or a year's supply. And God explained to me why I couldn't. But let's go to let's start at verse 19. Just listen. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He's telling you what not to do. Then he's telling you what to do. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus is saying here, some of you are so interested in earthly investments, which are, by the way, fleeting, but you're so interested in earthly investments that you forget that moth, thieves, rust, and corruption can get to those. But if you take on the responsibility of investing in heavenly things, then the enemy cannot do those. The reason I'm telling you that, folks, is because I've lived long enough to know that earthly investments are fleeting. Thank God I never lost anything in the stock market. That's not true. One time, a friend of ours asked Pastor Clinton to invest some money with him. And I said, okay, the very best we're going to do is $10,000, because I'm not greedy and I'm not hungry. And if you're not greedy and hungry, then you kind of limit what you're going to do. Well, he lost it. He lost it. Well, I didn't feel so bad because that $10,000 I could afford to lose. I could never understand people going to the racetracks and betting on a four-legged animal that is subject to do anything, fall over, break a leg, stop breathing, heart's outgrown his body or something. So many things could happen. So I said, look, we can afford to lose. And Pastor Clinton never asked me after that about investing in the stock market with anybody, friends or otherwise, because he was our friend and he did not intend for us to lose the $10,000, but he had limited information. And so we lost the $10,000, and I said, okay. And I looked at Pastor Clinton, and he knew not to ever ask me about investing any of our money in the stock market ever again, friend or no friend. He learned his lesson. Go with me. Hold your place there. But then go with me, please, to Proverbs. I want you to see why. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, please. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, and we're going to look at verse 5. Well, verses 4 and 5, okay? Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. And verse 5, would you read it with me, please, if you have a King James translation? Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Riches, if your focus is on it, they make their own wings. They fly away as though they're going to heaven, but they don't intend to go to heaven. They intend to let you live in hell here in the earth, if you will depend on it, if you will look at it as your source, if you will look at it as, well, I have it now, but I'm telling you, you can have it today and it'll be gone tomorrow. It can be gone tomorrow. Look over at the 27th chapter. 27th chapter and the 24th verse. Yeah. Let's read that one together, please. For riches are not forever. Doth the crown endure to every generation? That's why I don't understand many pastors talking about, you know, their heir apparent and all. God calls people to the ministry. Moses did not call Joshua. Elijah did not call Elisha. Okay. Paul probably didn't have any sons, but we need to stop thinking that a church, a facility, belongs to the person who was the original pastor. When God called Edward Funstein and Gregory Carr, I didn't give birth to them. I didn't even question God as to why he didn't call one of my sons. In fact, I think if he'd called one of my sons, I'd have stopped serving him. Because I had sense enough to know that I didn't want to follow them the direction that they were going in. No, you're laughing. People think that this is not my facility. This is God's church. And I believe strongly that if I didn't hear from God as to the selecting the two of them, I believe that I'd lost the anointing that I had. And so it was more important for me to keep my anointing and not concern myself with, quote, my heirs, than it was to let God do what he intended to do when he called us to do this in the first place. Eli, neither one of his sons. I mean, as a matter of fact, they died. Okay. But what about Samuel? Samuel served the Lord. What did his two sons do? Same thing. Now, he was brought up under Eli's leadership. But somewhere along the line, he didn't require of his sons the same thing that God had required of him. And so when you don't, see, mine have not quite made up their mind yet that they want to do it the way God has me doing it. And that's okay. Because there are consequences and their rewards. And I get the rewards while they get the consequences. No, I'm serious. When they decide to follow my God the same way I follow him, then they will walk in the same benefits that I have. And in the meantime, I'm not so stupid as to lose my benefits by allowing my children to take over this church or give them what God has given me. I am not obligated to meet their needs. I remember Celestine called me one time when she was our secretary, and she said, Kyle's electricity has been turned off. And I said, Ann? She said, but I mean, he doesn't have any refrigeration. He doesn't have any air conditioning or anything. And I said, but this is, and it was in July. I said, but this is July. It doesn't get dark until 9 o'clock outside. And it starts to get light at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, he needs to be up out looking for a job. And if he looked for a job all day long to be able to pay his electricity, then by the time 9 o'clock gets around and starts to get dark, he'll be ready to go to bed because he knows he has to get up again tomorrow morning. She looked at me and thought, oh my God, that's cold. No, it's not. No, it's not. I didn't tell him not to work. I told him I'd set him up in that apartment. I paid the, Pastor Clinton and I paid the 2 month security and the first month rent. And he was blessed because my mother went home to be with Jesus shortly after that, the following week. And so he ended up with her furniture because my attitude was, hey, I'm not going to put you out on the street, but whether you stay on the street or not, it's going to be up to you. I am not sponsoring grown children. Lord have mercy. I said, I'm not sponsoring grown children. Just because I gave birth to you, I'll help you get started. I'm like the Israelites. I'll help you get started with your wagon and your cart. But I'm not buying you your first truck. I'm not buying you your first grocery store. Because you may think, and some of you are experiencing that right now, you are not experiencing the blessings of God the way you should because you are too free and supporting family members. My housekeeper told me how when she first came to this country, how much money she was sending back to aunts and cousins and people in El Salvador. And even she, and she doesn't hardly speak English, she got smart enough to recognize, hey, I can't keep on doing this. We are sent here to trust God individually. And when we trust him, when we serve him, when we live a life that he has ordained for us to live, then he will provide because he's not a liar. And he said, I will supply all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But he's not asking those of us who are cousins and uncles and aunts and grandparents and parents to meet our children's need. Teach them how to serve the same God you do and get everything that they need from him because one day you won't be here. I said one day you won't be here and you will have crippled them. You will have crippled them about how to survive without mommy or daddy. I give not only to my children, but to anybody else, unless God specifically tells me to give something to someone. I give as I want to give. The last thing in the world you should do to me is come up and ask me for something. I'm going to, I not mean to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to refer you to my source. I said, I'm going to refer you to my source. My source is God. Jesus Christ. I am not going to end up being a pauper myself unless God wants me to be one, but it won't be because, well, let's put it this way. I'm not going to become a statistic because I didn't teach you how to lean on Jesus. And my feeling is if you lean on him and you go to him because, see, The reason that our children and our grandchildren and our cousins and aunts and all, the reason they don't go to the Lord because they don't serve him in the first place. And it's the same as robbing him. I mean, they know they've stuck a gun in his back and robbed him. Now you're going to turn around and you're going to ask him to bless you. I don't think so. They're not that crazy. So they don't have to go to directly to God. They have to come. They feel comfortable with coming to us because we're soft touch. We don't want the other family members to think, oh yeah, well, I wouldn't do that for my, you know, offspring. I wouldn't do that for my sister. I wouldn't do that for my brother. Sweetheart, the greatest gift that I can give you is to refer you to Jesus. Okay, take your shoes off. Rub your toes. You'll get over it, okay? I know it's starting to pinch a little bit. It's going to pinch even more, and I only have 14 minutes, but I want you to go with me. What is it saying here in Proverbs 24:27? Go to 1 Timothy 6:7 with me, please. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. Because you all think that just because you got two quarters or two shekels rubbed together today, that it's always going to be like that. According to the 6th chapter of Timothy and the 7th verse, it says, is it written in this? 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, maybe the 2 Timothy 6, verse 7. No, it's not the 7th verse. Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And we're going to live like we are already out of here if we don't start paying attention to what God has given. You need to confer with God every day about what you're supposed to do with your money. I don't care whether it's buying milk or buying whatever. Lord, do you want me to have this today? Let me, these verses that I just shared there, it's talking about heavenly investments, going back to Matthew, and I call them secure, safe, plus they increase. He's talking about the 19th and 20th verses there. Let's go back to Matthew, because you need to see this. Matthew, the 6th chapter. And the 19th and 20th verses. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor the rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. These are safe investments. The others are not. Verse 20 is telling you how to have a safe investment. And so I wrote down our heavenly investments are secure, safe, and they increase. They're secure. Say, I won't ask in here who's on SSI. But this is the only kind of SSI that I want to be on. My safety is in my heavenly investments, my security is in my heavenly investments, and my increase comes from heavenly investments. That way, when they talk about your SSI, it doesn't matter what the government does, whether they cut it or increase it, it won't have any effect on me. Amen? Okay. Your heart, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, your heart follows your treasure. And what is your treasure? It's the deposit, it's your wealth, and it's your reserve. Your heart follows your treasure. It's not the other way around. Your treasure does not follow your heart. And if that's the way you've been going contrary to letting your heart follow your treasure, then you need to recalculate. and make a legal U-turn, okay? This past Thursday morning, I was awakened with, and I wasn't thinking about sheep. You've heard the expression, sheep are dumb or dumb sheep. The Bible talks about them being dumb, Isaiah 53:7 and Acts 8:32. But listen, the Lord woke me up this past Thursday morning. He said, sheep are not dumb, they're single-minded. He said, they're not dumb, they're single-minded. When they get before the shearer, they never object to being sheared. Why? Because they know that's what they were created for. That's what they were born for. And because they know what their purpose is, and they know if they just stand there and let them do what they were designed to do, and that was take the wool off, sooner or later, I'm going to get more wool. And I'm going to get more wool because that's what I was designed as a sheep to do, to make wool so that it can benefit others. However, if they started balking at the shearer, shearing them, they might become a lamb chop. They might become a roast lamb. You're laughing. I'm serious. When you know what you were designed to do, when you know what you've been called to do, and you let God do it the way he wants to do it, then you will go on serving him for a long life, long time. But when you start balking at what God is doing to you because you don't have an understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus and what your purpose in life is, then you might end up being something else that you were not designed to be. Sheep are not dumb. They're single-minded. When I waited for the explanation, the Lord said in the Old Testament, it says they're tongue-tied or put to silence. And the New Testament, it means that they were speechless. And then it goes on to say here in Matthew, the light of the body is the eye. The eye needs to be single-minded. When it is, it dispels the darkness. Why? Because a single eye is a body full of light. If you are focusing on one thing that God told you to focus on, then your body becomes full of light. And what is the purpose of light? Reveals, it illumines, and it uncovers. But verse 23 says, but if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If the light in thee is darkness, how great is the darkness? How can light be dark? How can light be dark? If you have an evil eye and you're not focusing on what God called you to do because you've seen something that somebody else is doing that you want to try, you want to invest in this, you want to start a business, you want to do, hey, there's room for all kinds of creations out there. There's room for all kinds of opportunities for every one of us to prosper in whatever God tells us to do. But if, like my housekeeper, makes my flowers now. She's excellent at it. And everybody is saying, oh, she needs to go into business. No, she doesn't. She needs to get paid on a regular basis for cleaning my house and cleaning this church. Okay? If she goes into business making a flower a day, or when, and she makes mine whenever it's convenient for her to do it. She takes it home and they, folks, you better know just because you do something good. Like I was listening to Denise this morning saying she called in a decorator. I would have helped her for nothing. And I think I'm pretty good at it. But I decided a long time ago, first of all, I don't have the patience. I don't have the patience and I don't have the, because most people don't know what they want in their houses. And I took one person to the furniture market with me, and I promised God that he would never have to worry about me inviting another one to go. Because I tried to convince that person to look ahead of time and go around to the stores, get names of places. The furniture market, folks, I stayed in one building 7 years. One building, the Home International building it's 14 stories high. It has 8 wings and at least 100 vendors in each wing. And it took me almost 7 years going down there for 5 and 6 days at a time to just see what was in that building. And the place is a good 1.5 miles long. They must, I don't know how many thousands of people they have down there. You have to decide before you leave home where you want to go, because you'll never get to where you intended if you just go down and think, oh, this is a fun thing to do. No, it isn't. You see so much at such cheap prices. You stand in one building all day long as opposed to going anywhere. But let me move on. How can light be dark? An evil eye versus a single eye. Single eyes equal revelation, illumination, and discloses or uncovers things. Why is it making a safe investment a heavenly thing? Because God said so. He said you can make heavenly investments. He said, do that. But then he tells you clearly not to make earthly investments. So if he's telling me not to do something and I do it contrary to what he told me, then I am operating an evil eye. And I can't expect to have anything but darkness if I'm doing it the way God tells me to. Earthly accumulations are fleeting riches, spiritual blindness, indecisions, half-heartedness, double-minded and divided service. It's an evil eye that consumes the whole body and puts out the light that you once had. Verse 24 is simply telling us here, no man can serve two masters. In other words, make a choice. Verse 25 is saying, worldly cares are forbidden. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life. It's saying, forget the worldly cares. They're forbidden. You have to stop trying to get spiritual results with carnal activities. So you need to make a choice. Which master are you going to serve first? And then you have to recognize that carnality or worldly choices, worldly care is forbidden. And in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they spin, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Of course we are. We're better than nature. We're better than birds. We're better than fish. We're better than grass. Why are we, if they don't have to sow, then why are we not trusting God that if he tells us to sow something, that we're not doing what he tells us to do? But I have news for you. I've had days when I didn't have anything to sow. And like Kenneth Copeland said, where Jerry Savelle was concerned, Jerry broke a pencil in half one time and put half of it in the offering. And because he was determined that offering bucket wasn't going to go by without him putting something in it, before they collected the buckets to go back to count them, somebody walked up and handed him a $10 bill. I've had it done. Pastor Clinton and I had it done in the post office. We were going to the post office in Tulsa to send out some tapes that we had sold, Eternity Begun. Lady walks up to Pastor Clinton and said, do you have a change for, $20? We had never seen it before. And he said, no. He says, all I have is a $10 bill. She said, that's good enough, because God just told me to give you $10. God will even have the correct change. Because if he hadn't had that $10 bill, she could have said, well, God didn't tell her to give him 20. He told him to give him 10. But he also made sure Pastor Clinton had 10 to be able to give her the change. This is how you tell when God is flowing with you. When he gets involved in the little things. When he gets involved in the things that you think, oh, God would never be concerned about that. Yes, he is. That's why he doesn't want you being concerned about it. Because he's already concerned. He knows what you have need of before you ask. He doesn't even always wait for you to ask. Sometimes he just pours out his blessings and his abundance just because he is my Father And he loves me. But he also watches what I'm doing with it after he provides me with it. Am I doing spiritual things? Am I doing heavenly things? Or am I just letting it away, letting it flee as though it has wings of its own? And I need to stop right now because we're going to have communion today. And I'll finish this up on Wednesday because I've only gotten page 3. And I got 4 more pages to go.